Well, hey everyone, welcome to the HVBC podcast. My name's Doc, I'm the lead pastor here at Hawkesbury Valley Baptist Church. I'm so glad that you're joining us today as we continue our series called Reclaiming the Margins. This is the second message in a five-part series, and I encourage you, if you missed the first one, to just go back. It's only 15 or so minutes long, and just catch up on what you missed in part one, because it'll help give a little more context to what I'm about to share here today in part two. But, you know, in the Bible, in Galatians chapter 5, it gives us a picture of a life that's in step and in surrender with the Holy Spirit. It describes the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know, I wonder if you've noticed over the past decade or so that we don't hear, "I'm good," quite as often. But we sure do hear a lot of, "I'm busy, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I'm worried." And we've replaced goodness with all these other things. And I've got to wonder if it's because we've lived our lives out of the pattern and design that God designed for us. And I believe that if we're going to produce more of the goodness that God designed and desires for us, that we need to reclaim the margins in our lives. We need to come back into that space that God has for us. We need to find room and rhythm in God again. Have you ever noticed that Jesus' life was never so full or flustered that he couldn't respond well or keep the main things as the main things? And when the Bible talks about good and goodness, it means beauty, blessing, and benefit. That's what God desires for us, that our lives would be beautiful, blessed, and beneficial to the world around us. So we're going to continue today to look at the principles that we find in God's word about reclaiming our margins, about coming back into the space that God has for us. In part one, we learned that S is for seeking first the kingdom and righteousness of God. It starts with that posture of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. These are the goalposts for our lives. If we make God's kingdom and righteousness our utmost priority, passion, and pursuit, Jesus promises that our practical needs and provision will be cared for. And so as we begin with that attitude and goal of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness, making those things the goalposts, what we seek for and aim after, then we can move forward with these other principles and practices that I'm going to speak about throughout this series. I'm using the acronym SPACE. S is for seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. And today we're coming to the letter P. But before I tell you what P stands for, I know the answer that many of us think is necessary to solving the problem of being too busy, too tired, too stressed or anxious. We think the answer is more and better. We say to ourselves, if I had more time, if I had more money, if I had more energy, if I had better friends, if I had a better church, if I lived in a better neighborhood, if I had a better job. Now, I'm not here to say that more or better may not be temporarily helpful. But what I've found is that wherever I go, I'm there. I might come from a place of lack into a place of plenty. I might come from a place where I have just enough to more than enough. I might go from one place to another, but what I've found is that regardless of my level of provision or resource, that wherever I go, I take my attitudes, I take my habits, I take my mindsets with me. And we fall into the trap of thinking that it's our circumstances or our level of provision that determines where we're at in life. But actually, it's our character and who we are that are God's primary concern and purpose for us. Oftentimes, it's not that we need an upgrade in our bank or our living conditions or our postcode or our possessions or our job. Often, we need an upgrade when it comes to our character and our attitudes. And so most people don't want what I'm about to say unless it's the absolute last resort. We push down this path of more and better until we blow an engine, reach a breaking point, or come to the realization that we are not limitless. So knowing that your attitudes, your flesh, it's no different to mine, knowing that this principle is one that we often accept or embrace only as a last resort, Knowing that right now many of us have aligned our lives to thinking that more and better are the answers to the problems that we face. Knowing all this, I'm going to put to you today that P is for pruning. Pruning. Let's go to John 15, verse 1 to 2. Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Jesus goes on in verse 5, and he says that he is the vine, and we are the branches. And so remembering that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is what fruitful lives or fruitful branches in Christ look like. People who are producing this stuff. And Jesus said that every branch that bears the good stuff, the Father will prune. If we are going to reclaim the margins in our lives, if we are going to discover the goodness, the space, the room, and the rhythm that God has for us, I'm going to put to you today that we must be continually involved in the pruning that God wants to do in our lives. I did a little bit of research as to why we might prune plants, and the results might surprise you. Google taught me this. It said pruning plants removes stored energy and encourages new growth. Pruning is best done after flowering or fruiting to give buds new time to form before the next season. Pruning vines in particular, it's a key part of training them to succeed. And a lack of pruning will increase the risk of plants to pests and disease. And pruning plants often makes their appearance more attractive in the long term. So I'm going to put to you that there are significant benefits to our lives if we are responsive and cooperative with God's pruning work in our lives. I'm going to put to you that we might grow in new ways, that we might become increasingly fruitful, that we might learn the ways of God and the kingdom, that we might safeguard our lives against evil and temptation, and yes, we might even become more attractive if we cooperate with God's pruning. I'm going to base what I say out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 7, and I'm going to read it for us here. It says this, "Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children.'" I hope you feel really encouraged by those words. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He disciplines, he corrects, he punishes, and he's treating us as his own children as he does these things. God's pruning, his encouragement, his discipline, his correction, and yes, even sometimes his punishment. It comes with the territory of being loved by God. The famous Christian author Max Lucado wrote, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way." So today I want to give you something practical that I hope will create a series of interactions with God's Word and Spirit to help you to cooperate and participate with his pruning in your life at present. Here's the first thing. We've got to give God permission to prune. Number one, give God permission to prune. We see in those verses in Hebrews that God's pruning comes in a few different varieties. And I want you to think of these in terms of a spectrum of God's pruning work in our lives. On one end of the spectrum, there's encouragement, and then there's correction, and then there's discipline, and then there's punishment. There's encouragement, correction, discipline, and punishment. Think of those four things on a spectrum. God has, at the very least, those options at his disposal when it comes to making us more spiritually fruitful. Encouragement, correction, discipline, and punishment. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm sure you'd prefer that the majority of your pruning come in the form of encouragement and correction rather than God having to resort to the discipline and punishment end of his pruning spectrum. I wonder how often we have the courage to pray prayers like Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Church, this is what it looks like to give God permission to prune in our lives, to find ourselves continually in that place of surrender and submission to His Word and His Spirit. You know, my experience tells me that the more I permit the Lord to have access to each part of my life, the more my experience of Him is one of encouragement and correction rather than discipline and punishment. And I shared in week one that our understanding of our destiny, it might be in terms of achievements and milestones, but God's idea of our destiny is that we'll become more and more like Jesus. The Lord works inside out. He prunes in order to transform our character and bring us towards that destiny of being more and more like His Son, Jesus. And so today I want to give you an encouragement to grant God an access all areas pass into your life. Let Him into your attitudes. Let Him into your decisions. Let Him into your priorities and your passions. Let Him into the way that you do family and relationships. Let Him into your money and your vocation. Let Him into your time management. Give God access into all areas of your life, because I believe that the level of permission and access that we offer to the Lord directly correlates to the type of pruning that He chooses to use in our lives. Now, you and I, we all have stubborn parts of our lives. I could name you mine. I won't. But this message runs very counterculture to the world in which we live. You see, we need to recognize that we're all a work in progress. We're all becoming the people that God desires us to be. We're not a finished product. We're on a journey of transformation and confirmation to the image and likeness of Jesus. Let's not find that discouraging. Let's find that uplifting, that God loves us and never gives up on the work that in which He began in us. Is there a room in your life that's been locked away or off limits to the Lord? I wonder if you'd be willing to open that door today and to let Him into that space. It might be your family. It might be your relationships. It might be your finances. Whatever that room is that you've locked off to God, whatever that stubborn area of your life is, I want to encourage you to allow God to have full access into that room and that space in your life. Here's the second thing. Firstly, we've got to give God permission. But secondly, we've got to participate in what God is up to. You know, I've come to realize that God initiates and I participate. Oftentimes we get this the other way around. We expect God to participate in whatever we initiate. And I'm a person who loves to take the initiative. But I've come to realize that in my life, it's actually God taking the initiative. He's simply calling me to participate in what He's up to. You know, making this adjustment, it takes so much of the stress and the striving out of our lives of faith and following Jesus. It brings us back into that place of rest and living in the rhythms of grace that God has for us. Life in Christ is not meant to be replacing one heavy burden and weary task for another. It's coming to Him and discovering a whole new way of life that's good, where life is beautiful, blessed, and beneficial. The last thing I want these messages to be is more work or demand upon you. These messages are an invitation to represent our lives before the Lord and to take up His yoke. Remove the yoke that we're currently tied to. Remove that bondage that we're currently tied to and take up His yoke and allow Him to lead us with a light burden and an easy yoke, or an easy yoke and a light burden rather. Let's tie ourselves afresh to what Jesus is up to. Let's participate in what He is doing. And what starts with permission becomes a simple act of participation and cooperation with whatever Jesus wants to do in and through us. The good news is that transformation doesn't require your initiation. It requires your participation. God initiates, we participate. We walk in step with the Spirit. And as we give the Lord permission to access all areas of our lives, and as He reveals to us what we're doing, we simply respond with a faithful participation and cooperation. You know, I'm so thankful that God didn't roll out a long list of the things that needed change, removal, or adjustment when I first came to Him. I would have been overwhelmed. I'd still be overwhelmed if He revealed everything that He needs to do in me and through me. But God moves at a patient pace. He moves with an end goal in mind. And bit by bit, He brings the areas and the attitudes of our lives into alignment and conformity to His Son, Jesus. So let's not worry about initiation. Let's focus our effort on simply participating in what God is up to. We give God permission. We participate in what He's up to. And thirdly and finally, we persevere in God's pruning process. Back to those verses we read in Hebrews chapter 12. They say, don't give up when He corrects you. Endure this divine discipline. And church, today I want to finish by encouraging you to just commit to the journey, recognizing that until we reach the other side of eternity, it's about progress and not perfection. It's impossible for us to separate faith from faithfulness. The journey of following Jesus and the life of faith is faithfulness. And for many of us, reclaiming the margins, seeing our lives return to the goodness that God wants us to experience and to share, it's a process that's going to require perseverance. There's no magic wand solution here. There's no quick fix or instant solution when it comes to reclaiming the margins, coming back into that space God has for us, rediscovering the goodness. There's no quick fix. There's only perseverance in the process that God puts before us. It won't happen overnight, but if we persevere in faithfulness to God, we will be changed and transformed. Proverbs 24 verse 16 says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Today's message, it's really simple. God wants to change us. God wants to grow us. God wants maturity in our lives. And our part to play in that process is permission, participation, and perseverance as He prunes and shapes us according to His will and His Son, Jesus. There are times when the Lord will prune away what is evil. But there's also times where the Lord will prune away something that has been good but needs to be removed in order for something new or better to take place. It's not just always the sin and the evil that God's pruning away from our lives. Sometimes a revelation, sometimes an attitude, sometimes a way of doing life or a way of doing church has served us well to this point, and it may be time that God brings fresh revelation or a deeper understanding in that space to be able to enable us to move forward. So as we think about where God is pruning in our lives right now, or the areas that God might be directing our attention to, I want to encourage you, don't just think about the sin or the bad stuff in our lives. Also allow God to come into that space where good things might need to be made better, where revelation might need to be made fuller or deeper, where God takes you further, where God takes you wider, or God takes you deeper. Sometimes there are things that have served us to this point that may need to be changed or pruned away as well. So if you'd like to become a space cadet, if you'd like to go on this journey and commit to applying these messages, I want to encourage you to email doc@hvbc.org.au. I'll add you to our group chat on WhatsApp, and we'll resource you and help put you in a conversation that's going to help you to apply these principles into your life. And so I encourage you to do that. But let's just remember that God is always at work in our lives, that He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. And so God's pruning away, God's working away in our lives. We don't need to initiate. We simply need to give Him permission and participation and perseverance as He prunes and transforms us. Have a great week, and I'll catch you for part 3 soon. God bless.